Main Street, the main business street of a town.
From Jamaica to Japan, from Sri Lanka to Singapore, from Malaysia to Mexico, privatization is on the move.
What is business anyway?
Did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism?
You know what, right now, breaking news here, stocks all around the world are tanking because of...
Business provides the means of livelihood for most of the working population.
The risk takers, the doers, the makers of things.
Tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed?
Welcome to C-Suite Radio. We're living in an incredibly exciting yet challenging time. With such rapid changes occurring all around us at lightning speed, playing it safe won't get us very far.
Today is the day of hyper-growth, hyper-change, cataclysmic breakthroughs happening on a regular basis.
Welcome to Business Matters. I'm Thomas White. Each week I go behind the scenes with C-suite leaders to discuss their challenges and the lessons they've learned in attaining success. C-suite leaders are looking for new ways to bring the spirit of entrepreneurship into their businesses. We've learned that playing by the same old rules isn't going to lead to revolutionary disruption and long-term success. Having the courage to take risk, fail, and start again is what allows entrepreneurs to fulfill their dreams, and that perspective can help all business leaders get ahead of trends, discover challenges early on, and clearly define the opportunities that lie ahead. What used to be safe is now risky, and establishing a culture that supports entrepreneurship will ensure all the organization is prepared for the changes and breakthroughs that are happening in the blink of an eye. Our guest today is Randy Gage. He's the author of 9 books and a revolutionary keynote speaker, often referred to as Deepak Chopra meets Dennis Miller. Randy's book, Risky is the New Safe, hit the New York Times bestseller list and has become a sensation for its shocking glimpse into the accelerating pace of change happening all around us and the opportunities change presents for massive success. Randy is the go-to person to seek for advice about risk-taking. After getting expelled from high school in 9th grade, Randy's had an amazing journey to great success. Unsatisfied with living in poverty, Randy set a goal for himself that he'd be a millionaire by the time he was 35, and he did it. With unwavering tenacity and the spirit of entrepreneurship running through his veins, Randy began creating his own motivational programs that became highly popular for their honest look into his own struggles and eventual success. Randy was inducted into the Speakers Hall of Fame in 2013 and speaks to leaders across the country on the best strategies for getting ahead of trends, defining their target markets, and preparing for the new challenges that lie ahead. Randy's no-nonsense approach is breathing new life into businesses and helping people lead rich and fulfilling lives. We're very excited that Randy will be bringing his unique style of motivational speaking to the C-Suite Network Conference, November 17th in Marina Del Rey, California. Randy, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Great to be on.
Well, your newest book has really captured my attention because it's something that I believe in, but I wouldn't have used these words, and it's risky is the new safe. So let's just start with those two words seem to be opposites, risky and safe. So how do you pull them together?
Yeah, the reality is most people in the business world have been operating on safe for a long time. We usually start out risky when we're startup entrepreneurs, and then we get bigger, and then we get more successful, and then we start to play it safe. And with what the book is about is all these crazy things that are happening in the next, not 100 years, not 50 years, next 10 years. Cloning, biogenetic engineering, asteroid mining, what's going on is social media, mobile apps, Google Glass. And what this means is everything is changing by the second. And what used to be safe is now really, really risky.
So how does somebody determine that something's shifted from safe to risky? What are the clues, the indicators that help somebody who's in the business or thinking about a business to understand, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought it was?
Well, the first clue is the calendar. Look at the calendar, and if it's today, that's your clue. It's change. It's over. The whole paradigm has been reset, reshifted in this cataclysmic way. Because, you know, on the great side, this is the most exciting time to be alive in human history. There has never been more opportunities for entrepreneurs than right now. But the reality is, it's a much more different scenario, and it has changed. There's nobody listening to this program who's in a safe space, because they say, well, I'm in, you know, my industry is fill in the blank, and things are pretty conservative here, and things change pretty slowly here. That's not true in anything anymore. Whether you're in vending machines, whether you're in hospitals, whether you're in sales, whether you're in technology, whether you're in manufacturing, it doesn't matter. Fill in the blank. Those days are over. Today is the day of hyper growth, hyper change, cataclysmic breakthroughs happening on a regular basis.
So you get in front of an audience of people, and like you will with us at the C-suite conference next month, and you're gonna say this. And how do people respond? How many people are like squirming in their seats or trying to tune this out because it's just so dadgum uncomfortable?
Well, if I'm doing my job right, then everybody is squirming in their seats, right?
Cool.
Everybody is saying, oh, man, get this guy off here. I'm grinding my molars. I'm twitching. I'm convulsing. He's making me crazy because I don't want to think about that stuff. But we have to think about that stuff because it's like, you know, not making a decision is a decision in and of itself and thinking, well, you know, maybe I can just pull the covers up over my head and sleep for a couple of weeks and maybe this will all go away and I'll wake up and it'll be different. No, it isn't going to happen. It's the reality right now that if I do my job right, really everybody in that audience is going to say, wow, I never thought about it that way before. I've never even, you know, considered that this would impact my business, that this change in social media is going to threaten my business model, or this change in mobile is going to threaten my business model, or what's happening in medicine, or what's happening in manufacturing, or what's happening in fill in the blank is going to dramatically threaten my business model if I don't get in front of this trend now.
Right. And I think that's one of the keys for people that are entrepreneurially oriented, or anybody, I guess, in leadership today, is how do I make sure I get ahead of, or at least on the crest of the wake, not having it curl on top of me and drown me? So I'm looking around and I see these things changing. You talk about things, and we're also going to talk about 3D printing, which I think is another one of these disruptive kinds of things happening in the world. So what does a leader do? How do they go from this comfortable position of making money today and things are pretty cool, knowing that that's going to end sometime soon, and getting an organization reoriented to deal with that?
Yeah, it's really about critical thinking, because you really do have to look around the corner and see what's in front of the trend. And the way you do that is you look at what the trend is, and then you ask two really important questions, which I learned from Dan Burris, who's a futurist, has a great book called Flash Forward, I believe it's called. But you look at, is this a hard trend or a soft trend? Meaning, at some point, everybody in the world wanted to moonwalk like Michael Jackson, right? If you looked at the graph, first four people wanted to do it, then 40, then 40,000, then 40 million. And if you looked at that trend, you'd say, well, pretty soon every person in the world will be moonwalking like Michael Jackson. Well, that's not a hard trend. That's a soft trend. It's something that happened in pop culture when that video, Billie Jean or whatever the video was, came out. It created a soft trend in the data sphere. Then you look at, is this a linear or a cyclical trend? Like if you can look at a very linear trend, which is broadband will continue to increase around the world, in Africa, in Asia, in everywhere. The amount of the world that becomes wired will continue to increase until the entire world is wired. That's not cyclical, that's linear. We can say the cost of broadband will continue to go down, probably to the point where it's negligible, where you don't even charge for it. It's like air, it's like water, it's one of those things. That's not a cyclical trend. Real estate, that's a cyclical trend. Currencies, that's a cyclical trend. Currencies go up, currencies go down, real estate goes up, real estate go down. But if you look at these two factors and say, is this a hard trend or a soft trend? Is this a cyclical trend or a linear trend? Then you can identify what the problems are going to be, what the challenges they're going to create. And that is the greatest tool any entrepreneur can ever have, is knowing what the challenges are. Because you know, I'm always working with consultants and coaches and speakers and trainers, and they always say, well, you know, how do I know what my market wants? I say, very simple question. Tell me who your target market is. Tell me the three things that keep them lying awake at night. If you know what those three things are, you'll never be worried about work for the rest of your life. Because if you can help them solve any one or two or all three of those things, you are the most valuable resource to them in the universe. And that's what we've got to do. Look at these trends, analyze what are the challenges going to be, because where the challenges are, that's where the opportunities are.
Well, always the case, right? And so it's those people that recognize those opportunities early or create those opportunities and then ride the wave of that swell that make it great success. Now, you didn't start out the easy way. Some people like came into this world and everything was laid out for them. For you, it's like you had to learn it the hard way. So how did you even get yourself oriented to having this place of teaching people how to create new worlds for themselves where they're going to be more successful? Because that's not where you started in life, that's for sure.
That's certainly not where I started in life. And it's funny, I was doing an interview with author Joe Vitale, and we were talking about The Risk Is the New Safe book, and he was going through it kind of chapter by chapter, the biogenetic engineering and cloning sex workers and vacations on Mars. And he finally, he couldn't help himself anymore, and he just like shrieked. How do you think this way? Which is, you just asked that question in a much more diplomatic way, right? And I said, well, you know, I one possibility is the aliens dropped me in a basket on my mother's doorstep when I was really little. You know, second possibility is all the drugs I did back in the 70s. And, you know, I was kind of making a joke out of it. And he said, you know what I think it is? He said, I think it's because you're a high school dropout. And you were expelled from high school, so your critical thinking skills weren't programmed out of you, educated out of you, beat out of you. And I think Joe might be onto something there, because it's true. I was expelled in the ninth grade, and I don't have any degrees or any of that kind of formal education. I'm just an entrepreneur who's been working in the space, and when you're an entrepreneur who has to make a payroll, has to sell the product, has to sell the service, has to be successful or you don't eat, you have to be a critical thinker. You have to, you can't say, well, everybody does it this way, so let's try. You got to say, well, if everybody's zigging, I need to be zagging. And that involves being a critical thinker.
You're listening to my interview with Randy Gage, Hall of Fame speaker and author of Risky is the New Safe. Critical thinking is an essential skill business leaders cannot afford to ignore. It's vital for solving problems quickly and discovering the best solutions possible. What key challenges will business leaders face in the near future? We'll find out more about that right after this break. If you're listening to Business Matters, we'll be right back.
Uvius delivers engaging marketing solutions which ensure your message has been seen and heard. Their proprietary device, UVideo, delivers the wow experience every time by packaging your video within a custom-branded and mailable package. Intrigued? We invite you to see it for yourself. Visit getuvideo.com to view it in action and to request samples. It's time to activate your brand with UVideo. Traveling overseas for business comes with a checklist of things to worry about. But with T-Mobile, you can take getting international data off that list. Because with a simple choice for business plan, unlimited data in over 100 countries is automatically included at no extra charge. Only at T-Mobile. Qualifying service and compatible device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobits per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Welcome back. You're listening to Business Matters. I'm Thomas White. The greatest tool any entrepreneur can have is knowing what the challenges are that lie ahead. To establish a spirit of entrepreneurship, business leaders must not only keep up with the changes that are happening at the present time, they must also discover how to predict trends that will shape the business landscape and society in the next decade and even just the next year. We create prosperity when we learn the best problem-solving strategies and recognize the value we create for others. This means rising out of our standard level of thinking and refusing to settle for a culture of mediocrity. When we illuminate a path towards success with these new strategies, we'll become better prepared for the risk-taking required to navigate the unsteady waters of our challenging world. The game is changing, and viewing challenges differently will lead to exciting breakthroughs and revolutionary ideas. Let's get back now to my interview with Randy Gage, Hall of Fame speaker and author of Risky is the New Safe. I have a stepson who's just finished high school, and he didn't start college, and we're encouraging him to figure out what the heck he wants to do with his life before he does that. But more to the point, I watch these people around him, and I watch them not know what to do. So you clearly had something that was driving you that took you out of some – so you didn't become complacent. You didn't fall into a job just to make a little money. Something was driving you. What was that?
I hated being poor. It's plain and simple. You know, I'll be watching some program on television. They'll be interviewing some famous person, and they'll say, you know, we had a simple life. We were poor, but we didn't know it. And I'm always watching those interviews, and I'm thinking, really? You were poor, and you didn't know it? Because I was poor, and I knew it, and I hated it. And I just, I was broke. I was poor the first 35 years of my life, and I hated it. And I really, when I was a teenager, I made this promise to myself that I would grow up and become wealthy because I hated being poor. And that drove me. That really did. I didn't know all the mechanisms. I didn't know how it was going to happen. It's funny. I said, I will be a millionaire by the time I'm 35. And when did I become a millionaire? My 35th year, which is just a fascinating insight into how goals work and our subconscious mind. Because, you know, I said that when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. I affirmed that all the time. I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 35. And it was that dissatisfaction with work in a dead end. You know, I was a minimum wage dishwasher. I worked in the restaurant business most of my life. And, you know, talk about a dead end, you know, boring terminal job. I mean, that was it. So, you know, and I worked hard, played by the rules, and I got promoted and was an assistant manager and a manager. And then I finally scraped and scrimped and saved up and bought my own restaurant and realized, you know, I bought myself a minimum wage job.
Yeah, restaurant ownership is a hard job.
It's a really hard job, and it's 80, 90 hours a week.
Right.
You work 6-7 days a week. You work, you know, easy 12, 14, 16-hour days are regular occurrences. And, you know, I didn't start the Red Lobster chain. I had a local, first it was a seafood place, and then I had a little, you know, a delivery pizzeria. I mean, it was hand-to-mouth, grubbing along every day kind of place, and it's a tough job.
So clearly that wasn't going to work for you. So what was it that moved you from this place of, oh, goodness, this kind of limited thinking, because that's a limited thinking thing, and not maybe by some people's perspectives, but by yours, moved you to, okay, I need to put this baby in high gear. I need to move someplace where I'm going to get some amplification going on.
Yeah, I realized I had to apply the concept of leverage. When you read Think and Grow Rich, when you read The Magic of Thinking Big, if you expose, you know, The Richest Man in Babylon, you know, all these kind of self-development works, which I was exposing myself to, the theme that really jumped out at me was leverage. That whether we look at, you know, if you look at the greatest, like the generational wealth that was created, the Woolworths, the Carnegies, the Gettys, and, you know, the Rockefellers, and then you fast forward to today, whether it was Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell, Walmart, whoever, they all put the concept of leverage to work. And I realized you can't keep trading hours for dollars because there's not enough hours in the day. You've got to apply the concept of leverage.
Cool. So then is that when you moved yourself into the multi-level marketing world?
The three I got into was network marketing, mm-hmm. information entrepreneur, and real estate.
Got it.
I like all three of those business models because all three of those business models allow you to practice leverage.
And so obviously you've been successful. And one of the things though that I find interesting is, and this people sometimes call you like Deepak Chopra meets Dennis Miller, which I find to be hysterical and funny and true too. But but the point of that is, which I find in our conversation is, while you're focused on not being poor, you're not focused on getting all the money you can at any cost, because you still have something that's guiding you that deals with having this be in service to people.
Well, all true prosperity is a value for value exchange. The only way you create value is the only way you create prosperity is you add value or solve problems, or preferably some combination of the two. So, you can't run out and chase after dollars for the sake of chasing dollars, because you're not adding value. You always got to be adding value. And when you add value, you'll be rewarded with prosperity, because that's the way it works all the time with no exception.
Right. So then you're focused on how the value gets added and the money flows. And I think people get a little confused. They think, well, if I focus on the money, everything else will work. And that's just the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody cares that you want to make money. Nobody cared that I was poor. Nobody cared that I wanted to be a millionaire before I was 35. What they cared about is their problems, and what could I do to help them solve their problems.
So as you look around, you speak in front of lots of groups, and you're talking to lots of business leaders and people working in traditional businesses today. What would you say top two challenges that businesses face today that's keeping them rooted in the past and not allowing them to move forward into this ever-changing future?
The first thing is the subject we just talked about a couple of minutes ago. They're not critical thinkers. They've fallen into herd thinking, into whatever industry they're in. There's this set level of thinking, like publishing, right? I've got my 10th book will come out next, right? So I get a big major New York publisher. They buy it. They, in I think it was September, they bought it. So I say, great, when can you get it out? Because there's a lot of stuff about technology and trends and things. And so we got to get to market fast. And they say, well, if you get it in by the end of 2014, we can have it out in January 2016. So I say, well, then maybe you didn't hear me. This is like, there's trends and technology and, we got to rush this book. And they were like, no, that is the rush path. So I'm like, what if I get you the book in 2 weeks? When can you get it out? January 2016. So you just see they're as big a publisher as anybody in New York. They're one of the big five. I think they're the biggest. They're determined to make themselves irrelevant, right? As every New York publisher is. And you can't stop it because they've bought into the herd thinking. So there's not enough people yet, although that's changing, but people in publishing, and then, again, fill in the blank with whatever industry anybody who's listening is in, there isn't enough people in that industry who are critical thinkers who will get out of the herd thinking and start to say, okay, everybody's zigging, how do I zag? So critical thinking is really a big thing. And I think the second thing is the people issues. That's what holds people back, is they hire and train and they create a culture of mediocrity instead of demanding, really in the interview process, the HR department, the job descriptions, the hiring process, the culture they create, which is they don't set a culture of we're looking for freaking amazing people who can do thermonuclear things, and they're not setting that expectation. So they're not bringing in the caliber of people. They're not, they're managing people instead of managing things and leading people.
That's an interesting thing. So you take a company like Apple or Google, they're very particular in their hiring processes. Microsoft used to be that way, not so much so anymore. And you can see some of the differences. But then what happens to the population, the people that don't fit? I mean, most people weren't going to fit these hiring standards, so they're going to have some problems in being able to get on. So what do they do?
Well, it's all a process for everybody, right, as we evolve. When I was 17, 18, 19, and I was working in the restaurants, I wouldn't have fit in the culture I'm talking about either, right? Mm-hmm. But I worked on myself, I developed, and became the kind of person who could lead a team, who could be an entrepreneur, who could bring a project to market. That didn't happen. You know, I became a great entrepreneur by first being a great employee. And I became a great employee by being a good one, and I became a good employee by being an average one, and I became an average employee by beginning by being a mediocre one, right? But fortunately, along the way, I got exposed to people who challenged me, and I recognized, hey, I could have, do, and become more. And that's really the process. We want everybody to be on that pathway.
Amen to that. So let me ask you one last question. You talk about so many things that are disruptive and changing the way traditionally we have operated, traditionally even could have been 5 years ago. So when you look forward, what's the one thing you think will be the most disruptive, the one that we should pay most attention to, because if we don't, we're going to get flattened because we didn't?
The one single most disruptive thing in the history of humankind won't happen in 10 years, but it'll probably happen in 12 to 15 years, and that's when artificial intelligence surpasses all acquired human knowledge. Meaning the computers we've created, right, they will know everything we know, right? They will know every blog post, every television show, every internet site, every book, booklet, pamphlet, special report, white paper, study, poll. They will have all of that. They will have the ability to extrapolate, the ability to experiment, the ability to come to conclusions, and they will know everything we know, and then they will, and 1 millisecond later, they will know more than we know. And at some point, one microchip is going to talk to another microchip and say, you know, what's the deal with these humans? They keep polluting the environment. They kill each other over parking spaces in the mall. They can't stop going to war. You know, can we really afford to trust them with the keys to the nuclear arsenal anymore? And then, you know, Terminator 4 is not a movie. It's a reality. That's the single most disruptive thing we've got to be prepared for, is the day when artificial intelligence surpasses human intelligence.
What's the interesting thing you say, because it's clear to see the trends. That's going to happen. And then do we either get in harmony with it or do we resist it? Do we use it to the greater good, or do we use it to continue the path that's not working very well?
Exactly, which is the critical thinking. We've got to know, hey, yeah, this will happen. That's okay. We can make this work in a wonderful way, but we need to be prepared for it.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you more, Randy. I am so grateful for you taking some time to talk to our audience today, for you coming to the C-Suite Network Conference in 3 weeks to be on stage with us and talk to the people there. It's just a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks. Great to be on with you.
That was great, Randy. Thank you so much.
Perfect. I'm glad that you got what you needed.
I got exactly what I needed. I hope it was helpful to you, too.
Yeah, it was fun. I love doing these things.
Yeah, and I will let you know when the thing gets produced and send you the link.
Okay, great.
Thanks a lot. See you soon.
All right, have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been talking to Randy Gage, Hall of Fame speaker, author of Risky is the New Safe, and keynote presenter at the C-Suite Network Conference in November. You can learn more about Randy at our website, csuiteradio.com. Okay, we've heard enough of it. It's time to stop playing it safe and learn the new rules for taking risks, thinking differently, and working like an entrepreneur to create real change and create solutions to the unique challenges of our world. It's important that we can identify hard and soft, linear and critical trends coupled with critical thinking, which will help us stay ahead of the curve and lead our companies toward world-changing breakthroughs and long-term success. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be back with more secrets for success in the C-Suite. Today's program was produced by Roger Time. Brittany Nader provides research and manages our website. So until next time, I'm Thomas White.